Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for Spider-Man 2. Caravan of Garbage is here. People are very upset. Some people are very upset that we're covering this
special,
in Caravan of Garbage.
Yep, absolutely. Special shout-outs to people who haven't watched this video, but have already put a comment that's like, how dare you put this Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man movie that's ever been made, and you wouldn't know nothing about this. We're going to say good stuff about it.
Nah, it sucks. just kidding. I quite like this film.
Me too.
I think it's a big improvement on the first one in a lot of ways. A lot of things kind of settle in into the series. It's the pinnacle of this trilogy.
I think it is.
But there's still some stuff that I don't like.
Oh my goodness.
That's right, yeah.
Excuse me a moment while I make a YouTube comment. And hey, you don't know nothing. Were you hyped about this movie when it was...
Absolutely, I was. I bought it twice on DVD because I lost a copy, and then I bought it again because I really wanted to watch it, and then I found the other copy like the day after.
And then you just smooshed them on your face like you were some sort of Spider-Man sandwich. Just eat one on each side of your face.
I love it.
I'm here with you. And of course, you were there to, you know, see well-known character actor Alfred Molina.
Absolutely, I was.
Like, the guy from Chocolat.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
The guy from the very start of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
The spiders on him, and then he gets impaled by spikes. Are you kidding me? He's a good choice.
He is a good choice.
There's some things about that character I'm not entirely understanding of.
Look, hit me with one.
Okay, for one, he's supposed to be a very intelligent man, and yet he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drill these octopus arms into my back with an exposed microchip so they don't take over my body.
James, it's not an exposed microchip. It's a microchip that's covered in a very thin piece of glass.
or
plastic that is vulnerable to heat and is on the back of his exposed neck.
Yes.
Now that I say it out loud, you're right.
But the thing is, his idea of unlimited power is, okay, I need to wear this rig, stand in front of the sun,
yes,
which is just going to give me cancer. These goggles will be fine.
Yep.
And I just got to control the energy coming off it forever?
Nobody else is wearing the goggles.
No,
as well.
They're not.
Nobody else in the room. He's like, look, I'm going to be the closest to this sun. You guys are 3 feet away from the sun, so don't even worry about it.
And I'm not going to turn my back on the sun, so this chip, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine.
But he does turn his back on the sun.
Very quickly, almost immediately, yes. You're right. Is that going to be his job from this point forward? Is just to stand in front of this thing with these wibbly wobbly arms? Also, is this the first time he's tried this rig?
Yes.
I feel because he's got very smooth skin.
I reckon he got waxed down to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you'd think he'd take his jacket off and there'd be like all these other puncture wounds from all the previous times he's tried it, but he hasn't.
Nah.
He's just like, yeah, first time in front of an audience. What if they all sunk into his back and he's like, oh, no. Oh,
I'm paralyzed.
Presentation's over, everybody. Nah, this sucks. I should have, like, used a joystick or something. This was a bad idea. I'm actually not a medical doctor. I don't know why I thought this would work.
What I do like about the...
If you ever had a needle at the doctor's office or something like that, there's heaps in my back right now.
Right on my spine.
I was in Boogie Nights. Do you remember that? Yeah, that was good.
I didn't know he was in Boogie Nights.
He was in Boogie Nights.
Yeah. I love the rig, though.
Yeah.
I love when it's puppeteering.
Yes.
And mostly when it's CGI, it's good. There's a bit at the end where he's lying in the water and talking to Peter Parker where they look a bit fake. And, you know, but at a distance, when they're CGI, they're fine. And when you see them being puppets, they're great.
Because
there's four people on every arm.
Yeah,
so
right.
So it's like 16 in total to make it
and
happen.
And they're so detailed. They're terrifying.
Yeah. And they're different. Like each one of them have like a different kind of look
like
to them.
Like a claw.
Yeah.
So there are claws and there are scoops.
Yeah, one's got a spike.
And they've got scary red eyes.
Yeah.
And they're very like, this is very, I feel very Sam Raimi because it's like, it's this demonic. We never really get any insight into the art because it's an artificial intelligence and it's kind of like being restrained by this like little chip again under the little piece of glass. Put it in a box. Put it in a black box.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't they make all the arms out of a black box?
Because then they'd be indestructible, you dumbass.
Oh, yeah, good point. But it's like we don't really get any insight into what they want. Clearly, they want to build the sun.
Build the sun.
And they want to rob banks.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
But only in service of the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He also tells that weird joke about the rubber band around the $20
bill. He does open it with that.
I don't know why he tells that joke.
Yeah.
Like, to what end?
Uh-huh.
Is it because he's like, look, I'm going to ignite a sun in front of everybody, but this will calm everybody down.
Right.
This terrible joke. Also, he's just a man. And he gets punched so much.
He's famed character actor Alfred Molina.
Okay, sorry. Well, if you...
He was in Maverick, 2001, 1994.
If Spider-Man punched character actor Alfred Molina in the face...
He'd die.
That fight is over.
Yeah.
He's just a man.
Yeah.
He gets hit so much in this movie, but they never address... I think he shouldn't have landed a punch on him. I think the arms should have stopped him every time.
Because it's not like the Green Goblin or Venom where like his physiology has been altered and he's super strong and super invulnerable.
No.
Like even if you had crazy man strength, that doesn't factor into that Spider-Man could punch your head off. And I know traditionally we always say like, you know, oh, Spider-Man pulls his punches when he fights a regular man.
Not this guy, he wouldn't.
Well, exactly. And this guy's going after Aunt May.
Yeah.
He's going after Mary Jane.
He's building a son.
He's building the son. Exactly. Hit him really hard just once and see what happened. Hit him in the balls, really.
Absolutely.
That worked last time for the Green Goblin.
It really did.
Really took the wind out of his sails.
It killed him.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is you could have him be knocked out and the arms still work.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there is the sequence where they're going to take him off him in surgery. It's a great sequence, the horror sequence.
Yes.
And they're fighting. Like they're cleaning up the room of surgeons. That bit where the woman gets dragged with the nails, that's terrific. Apparently that effect's just done with it's just a wax floor.
Oh, okay,
it's
cool.
It's so effective. Yeah. Also, John Landis is killed in that scene, which is also good. Also, originally he was going to be the same age as Peter Parker and there was going to be a love triangle.
Oh, teenage Peter Parker.
That's right. Okay, we'll get back to that. But
all right.
There was going to be the same age and it was going to be a love triangle between...
Was it still going to be Alfred Molina?
I don't believe
so. Oh, I love being a fusion scientist and 26 years old. Oh, yeah, it's feels me, good. Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
Enchanted April.
But there was going to be a love triangle between him and Mary Jane and Peter. And Avi Arad, in one of the good decisions he's made in his life, one of three, relating to Spider-Man, was like, let's not do a love triangle.
That's super weird.
Yeah.
For reasons, I guess, because of recasting reasons. But also, I feel traditionally... If there's going to be any kind of romantic subplot in a Dr. Octopus comic book, it's usually Dr. Octopus falls in love with Aunt May.
Absolutely. They've been married before.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
That
all
is
right.
Weird, yeah. Well, he was also going to be in the first movie. Like, there's some concept...
Pokemon the first movie?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was going to be the Pikachu.
All right.
But yeah, no, he was going to be in the first movie.
It's me, Alfred Molina. I'm Pikachu.
Yeah, he was going to be in the first movie. There's some concept kind of sculpts that they did, and it's more kind of... gremlin-y and creepy and sinister, and this they kind of went more kind of clean-cut scientist with a bulk out and some sinister arms. What I also really love about it is the little things that it does. Like, it'll light a cigar, tip a hat, drink a whiskey.
Oh, is it an MRA?
Yeah, that's
it'll drink a whiskey and it'll tip your fedora for you.
So there's some great outtakes of them trying to get that to work.
Uh-huh.
You know, trying to get Alfred Molina to drink a glass of whiskey from a robot, arm, which is quite good.
Arms activate the M'lady protocol.
M'lady.
M'lady.
But I think the look of this character, the performance, all of it's really good. Now, the stuff that I don't really understand about it, I'm fine with.
The what of $20 bills joke.
I mean, that's a great joke.
It's a good joke, isn't it? On its own, it's a good joke.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing was they were going to do, a big part of this movie is that they do the Superman 2 thing where he doesn't want to be a superhero anymore.
Spider-Man No More.
Exactly. Spider-Man No More, the comic. They do that exact comic shot of the suit in the bin or whatever. Yeah, it's from the comics. But he's losing his powers because he's in love and it's
a performance issue.
He's
nervous.
That's exactly what it
happens
is.
Happens to everyone.
It really does. I mean, some people, I assume. But he was going to have an inhibitor chip from Doc Ock. which slowed him down. Which I guess technically makes more sense.
Yeah.
But does it?
And also he'd be like, Spider-Man, you can't use your powers anymore because I've put a chip on the back of your neck. Oh, you've broken it.
You saw me do it.
Carry on. Yeah. Carry on.
But there's some great action in this.
I agree.
Really terrific to this day stands up.
There is some great action in this. Some of it, in retrospect, maybe doesn't make a lot of sense. There's a scene towards the middle where Doc Ock wants to go and get Peter Parker.
Yep.
So to have him find Spider-Man.
Yes.
And his initial move is to throw a car at him.
Not knowing that he's Spider-Man.
Throw a car at regular man Peter Parker. And then what? Pick up his head and hope it turns in the direction of Spider-Man. He doesn't know it's Spider-Man.
He really doesn't.
But that sequence where it
would have killed him if he wasn't Spider-Man.
It would have killed everybody.
Yeah.
He's lucky that cafe was very sparsely populated.
I remember when I first saw that trailer.
Yeah.
Because the very first thing I saw from this was that scene online on Apple trailers, but that was a thing.
Oh,
maybe it still is. But I just saw that and just went, holy hell.
You watched it and then you waited 20 minutes for it to load again and you watched it a second time. Yeah, no, that scene went, and I was obviously going to see it anyway, but just that sold me on, like, it's this romantic, tender moment, and is he going to admit that his true feelings, and then the car comes and doesn't kill him, and then they have to they dodge out of the way by mere millimeters. Oh, so good.
I love the behind the scenes. There's like this.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Swirly rig that they're in a green screen room. The compositing is much better in this, so you can't. It looks like they're just in the same space.
That's true. Although I think there's this, we have it in Spider-Man 2, I think we've hit that era of we can CGI anything.
Yeah.
We should definitely CGI everything.
Yeah. No, I can. Yeah,
so there's some moments where Spider-Man is fighting Doc Ock, I think, on a side of a building.
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll just CGI that. Nobody will notice. I noticed.
There's a bit where Doc Ock carries Mary Jane out of the coffee shop, and that looks.
Right.
Pretty terrible.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, CGI people aren't great. Though there is one at the end where when Doc Ock is killed and he goes past the camera, that's CGI. And you can tell, but I've kind of ragged on that before. Like, oh, why would you go so close with a CGI character? But it's quite good.
I agree,
2004. Okay, action scenes though. There's a bit where he goes in between on the truck.
He scoots
through on it. Uh-huh. There's a bit where he catches the car with the webs. Looks great. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's obviously the much replicated stopping the train sequence.
Stopping the train sequence is incredible.
Which again it's referenced in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yep.
I feel like Spider-Man Homecoming. There's like a riff on it when he tries to put the boat back together. You know, what a good scene.
What a good scene. And the way it escalates, because it starts on, like, the side of a building and it tumbles down onto the train and through the train, and then Doc Ock leaves and he's stuck there trying to stop this train, and it's insane. There's actually an extended sequence for it in the deleted scenes where it's just more punching. There's one part where they tumble into a building and Spider-Man is just clocking him in the head like again and again. I'm like, well, I see why they took this out because it would have killed him. But then he gets thrown out the window.
The first punch takes his whole head off and then he's just punching a red puddle. Yeah. And they're like, ooh, also you've killed character actor Alfred Molina. Frida. The Frida Kahlo biopic. Yeah.
Very good. And then Spider-Man gets thrown out the window and on the way out he webs Doc Ock and pulls him out with him.
Uh-huh.
The whole scene is probably like 10 seconds. They probably could have kept it in, but I guess it was just a time thing and like, oh, we got to keep this moving. But it's really great. Yeah. The bank vault scene.
Yes.
I never understood why he's throwing bags of gold. I'm like, what bank is this? What are we doing with bags of gold?
Yep.
Is this Scrooge McDuck's vault? What is this?
Yeah, for sure.
But
it's Krugerrands.
I looked into it.
Okay. And John McHale's like, ooh, I'm going to take this gold coin.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah. The coins apparently were supposed to be found on a sunken ship, and they're called St. Gordon's, and they're nearly a century old. So they're supposed to be vintage coins in this vault. That's never explained in the movie, obviously.
Is that a reference to like some sort of pirate superhero that we never get a sense of?
I have no idea.
But Amat May at one point points out that there are other superheroes in this universe flying about saving the day, but we never see any of them. Intriguing.
Who do you think it might be?
It's probably Superman.
It's probably New Goblin.
It's probably New Goblin. It's probably New Goblin. They couldn't come up with a better name. Didn't make him the Hobgoblin. Why wouldn't you?
We'll get to it.
All right.
Yeah. Harry Osborn, speaking of him, I think performances all round are better in this movie.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's better, though there is like moments where he's like, hi Peter, happy birthday. Who the fuck is Spider-Man? We're good, we're friends. Fuck you! You son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of that.
I love you like a brother. Where's Spider-Man? I'll never forgive him. Where is he? Why are you friends with him? Stop taking photos of him.
And there's a moment.
Anyway, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, yeah. Please come to my science experiment where we're going to make the sun. Afterwards, there's a hilarious moment where he's like, Spider-Man insulted me by even touching me. Then he puts on some very 2004 cool sunglasses and sulks off. So good. The suit's better in this as well.
I agree.
Do you feel? It's like a deeper red.
Yes.
What I don't understand, though, because there's a moment in it where
the eyes are better, too.
The eyes are better. Mm-hmm. They've done some little modifications where it's clearly the same universe and the same suit and whatever, but it pops more.
Uh-huh.
Like the mouth still doesn't move when he talks. And it's very noticeable when he's like in the elevator next to that guy and he's just standing there and they're having a chat. But then there's a moment where
he's in the elevator with Mr. 2004, the most 2004 man who ever lived with his hair and his earring.
His big collar, collar.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's a moment where his webs are failing and you see his mouth.
It happens sometimes.
It happens to some people sometimes.
Yeah.
You see his mouth animate at that point and go, oh no, as he kind of tumbles out of the sky. Uh-huh. So yeah, you know, whatever, I guess. Because with that Spider-Man costume, there is a shell underneath it which keeps the same face structure for every person that wears it.
Yeah, right, okay,
so that's
sure.
kind of the way it is. Yeah. The real villain of this movie, though, I guess, is Mr. Dickovich, who's all like, give me my money for staying in my apartment.
Oh, sure.
He's
right.
not a villain. He's just a man trying to get by, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just wants to cook a weird broth and play some cards or whatever
This movie, I think, really, and again, I've talked about this before, just about this Spider-Man trilogy in general. Like, this movie is all about, man, Spider-Man is really downtrodden.
Yes.
You know, the bank is foreclosing on Aunt May's house, and Harry Osborn hates Spider-Man, and he can't tell Mary Jane that he loves him.
And she hates him.
And she hates him, and he's always
his bike gets run over.
Exactly. He's always behind. He gets fired. He's always behind on his rent, and he's
Bruce Campbell won't let him into the theater.
Exactly, he's failing all his classes. It's just really, it's pretty grim out there.
There's a moment where he drops his books or whatever.
What you could do? Mm. You could sell your photos of Spider-Man to another newspaper.
Exactly,
maybe one where they appreciate your efforts.
Maybe start a blog, an online blog, and run some GeoCities ads.
Exactly.
There's a moment where he's getting hit in the head with bags. The bag that really hits him is Sam Raimi, apparently. So
I see.
There's an outtake where the bag strap gets looped on his head and like drags him.
Oh, I see.
It's pretty great.
So does that mean that the bad vibes, the Tobey Maguire bad vibes from the first movie, where apparently the crew hated him, did that move on to the director?
And may
was
have.
The director like, I'm going to throw some heavies. There's a scene where actually a lot of stuff gets thrown at you.
Mm.
It's real stuff. We want it to look real. It's a brick in a bag. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
I'm just
the director of this movie.
There is some Tobey Maguire difficulty surrounding this movie. I'm sure a lot of people know this, but he was going to drop out because of a back injury and they cast Jake Gyllenhaal in the role.
Yeah, right.
This was also parodied in Entourage with the Aquaman story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Entourage in itself is a parody, I guess, but...
of good television?
I guess it is, yeah. So he was ready to go, but then his back got better and he was fine. But, well, the rumor is that he wanted more money for the role. Uh-huh. Because he'd already signed
He faked a back injury.
Yeah, or kind of, you know, it was a bone spur situation.
Oh, I see, I guess, right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that how it works? You get drafted in being Spider-Man?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he'd already signed on for three. And, yep. And the money was decided upon, but apparently his agents wanted $25 million or 10% of the gross. I'm assuming they looked at like the Michael Keaton deal for Batman or the Jack Nicholson went, well, that's where the money is.
Yeah, right.
Which makes sense, but that's not what ended up happening. I guess they gave him a little bit extra money or they called his bluff and he ended up coming back. But there's still some nods to it though. You know the bit where he falls and he injures his back?
Yes.
And he's like, my back. That apparently was always in it. That's not a nod to Tobey Maguire. But
they didn't put that in to punish him. Like there isn't a line where he's like, my back, I'm faking a back injury. Peter Parker, me, I'm faking it. I'm such a faker.
I wish I was a better actor like Jake Gyllenhaal. But there is an article headline that you see on the Daily Bugle. It's just a minor one that says, can chronic back pain lead to brain shrinkage? So that
brutal.
Sounds like a pretty,
that's a shot, yeah. And impotence.
It happens
sometimes. It
happens to some people sometimes.
Like Tobey Maguire, the actor.
That's right. The Peter Parker stuff with Mary Jane is better.
It is better. There's fewer very, very long, sappy monologues towards each other.
Yeah.
And I think they even sort of turn that around where I think Doc Ock tells Peter Parker, you should read her poetry.
Yeah.
And then he's like, here we go. Here's some, and she's like, stop talking.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use real human words.
You know what else is really good in this? The scene with Aunt May where he tells her that he could have stopped Uncle Ben's killer.
Mm.
He's really good in that scene. Mm-hmm. And the way that she doesn't even say anything, she just gets up and she's like, I can't fucking deal
you
with
can't,
this.
You get a sense she's not going to fly off the handle, but she needs a lot of time to process.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then she turns around and goes, you're probably Spider-Man, so get back
everyone, pretty much everyone. Look, just to be clear, I'm not the only one who doesn't know you're Spider-Man. Pretty much every... I know also. Robbie Robertson knows. Mary Jane knows
Mary
I Joe know.
Mary Jane knows. Harry's going to know probably in the next 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone in New York knows.
Yes.
They're keeping it under their hat, m'lady.
Okay, that scene where Spider-Man's unmasked.
Yes.
And they carry him into the train. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe for a second, if that happened now, that somebody wouldn't take a photo. There wouldn't have been someone on that train
he
saved my life, but I reckon I could get $80 for this
photo.
I mean,
for sure, now you'd take a photo and put it on your gram and become an influencer, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think even in 2004, you'd take a photo of that and on your flip phone or whatever. And you'd be like, I got a photo of Spider-Man. And they'd be like, is that a man?
Is that you and Jake Gyllenhaal?
I can't tell from the pixels, but is he still wearing his mask? I don't know.
So apparently I say Gyllenhaal wrong. But you know what? He's not here. I can do what I want.
Absolutely, you can. Also, he doesn't watch Marvel movies, so he's not going to watch
a
video.
Right.
But did you see that interview recently?
Yeah, they're like, which is your favorite? It's like, oh, whatever one's your favorite.
I was going to say the one you said, Tom Holland, because I've definitely seen all of them.
I love it.
Them.
There's more than one, yes?
Yes.
With that moment on the train, I really believe that they're not going to tell anybody.
For sure, yeah.
It seems like a moment where, you know, New York comes together and's like, this guy saved our life. We're all of the understanding that we're just never going to say anything. I mean, everybody knows anyway, but regardless. But I love the bit where the guy's like, he's just a kid, no older than my son. But what he should say is, he's just a man, no older than my friend Terry. We're the same age.
So he's also a man. He's no older than my friend, a man who is experiencing virility issues. It happens to everyone. Just look at him. He's clearly impotent and can't get it up.
I love the raindrops keep falling on my head moment.
Oh, yes. Where he gives it up and he's like, I'm just living my life.
It's a nice nod to Butch Cassidy. Apparently it was like a temporary track they put in, but it just lined up really well, so they kept it in. Also, Tobey Maguire's a vegan. He's eating a tofu hot dog, just so you know.
Oh, there you go.
He's not a monster, Mason. He's a vegan, you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff that I'm like, why are we doing this again? Burning building.
Yeah,
rescue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's changed because he doesn't have his powers and whatever.
Yeah,
so
right.
There is that element. Uh-huh. But then Mary Jane just gets kidnapped again, and he has
that
to go
true,
and stop her again. And then
uh-huh.
when we get to the third movie, again. You know what I mean?
For sure. She doesn't have a lot to do.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's something she's definitely has been expanded on in the comics.
Yeah.
She's doing stuff, But yeah, it's not plot stuff. She's like, yeah. She's the face of a perfume, and she's in a play.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, this person's seen it 5 times, and this person's seen it 2. All right, that's weird, actually, that someone's seen you play 5 times.
That's too many.
It's too many times.
Your friends are weird.
Your friends are weird. Sometimes life gets in the way.
Yeah.
Aren't you doing this for the craft?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Unbelievable.
God. You know, get over yourself, lady.
There we go. You know, from the get-go, I like this movie better because, for one, the opening sequence, and we talked about this in the last video, it's the Alex Ross paintings recapping the first movie.
Mm.
It's not a boring sequence where it's DNA and buildings and webs or whatever, mm-hmm. which I know was revolutionary for the time, but I really love the recap in this.
Yes.
And I also love that, unlike most Spider-Man films, it doesn't end with a fucking funeral. That's all true. But I think it's out of the first 5, this is the only one that doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
Which is pretty incredible.
That's an awkward phone call. Sam Raimi has to call up his funeral guy, his fake funeral guy, and he's like, couldn't find room in the budget this time around. We're going in a different direction. The guy's like, oh.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on, it brings me joy. It brings me joy to make fake funerals. Oh, I just wanted to know who was going to die in this one.
Also, it feels like more of a real New York. I think back to like the collapsing balcony from the first one. It feels very much like a set.
Yeah, it does,
this
absolutely.
Doesn't really ever feel like that.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is the moment, though, where he's delivering pizzas at the start, which I love. It's a great sequence. It's also a great moment in the video game if you ever played Spider-Man 2. It's terrific. I'd love to cover that one day.
Do you play as Peter Parker on a little bike?
You play as Spider-Man delivering pizzas, but you can't do too many flips or you'll mush the pizza.
I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, even if he got those to Emily Deschanel on time, they would have been all smushed, and she shouldn't have paid for them anyway.
Absolutely.
Did you
not.
See him? They're all crushed down.
I don't understand where he kept his clothes, because he doesn't have a pouch. There's no bag on him. Did he just mush him in a pizza box?
Yes.
He must have.
Yeah. She opens it up and she's like, oh, but they'd be all pizzery then, wouldn't they?
I guess they would.
Yeah. Also, what's he doing fixing the closet? You know what I mean?
No time.
No, there's no time.
I mean, you're already late. You're probably not going to make it, but there is no time.
Mm. Why is the pizza company taking orders and then just waiting for Peter Parker to show up?
Yeah.
You don't have another guy?
There's like 12 people working in that store.
Get anybody else on a little
bike.
Get
anybody else, yeah. Mm. You're not wrong. Apparently, real pizza place in real life, real number.
Yes, so I know.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Yes.
It's a famous New York slice, Mason.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun fact.
I'm ready.
In this movie, they were originally planning to introduce Doc Ock, Black Cat, the Lizard, and Harry as New Goblin, all in one movie.
Wow. Is there room for more villains after New Goblin?
Well, I think this is a mistake that they then fold into the next movie.
For sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think keeping it just to Spider-Man, Harry's a bit mad, Peter Parker gets hit in the head with a bag. You know, that's fine.
I think this, I feel that this movie wouldn't be as fondly remembered if they were just like chuck in an extra couple of villains, throw them. Like, there's no, you need time, especially for Doc Ock, to develop a sympathetic character.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you see him if you see him for 2 minutes, you know, every act, you wouldn't care about this guy.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Mm. Just like the last movie, we've named a few of them. There's some kind of bit parts which then become bigger actors gone on from. Daniel Day-Kim is one of the scientists.
That's true, yeah.
He's a great actor. He's in Lost. He was in the recent Hellboy. I think he's really good in that. He's a weird cat man or something. Yeah. I don't know. Joey Diaz, the comedian.
Oh, yes.
Emily Deschanel.
As the receptionist,
you mentioned Bones. John McHale pre-hair plugs as the bank guy.
And oh, that's scandalous. I didn't know that. Scandalous.
Yeah, right. There we go.
You'll take down anyone.
It's just a reality.
Look, it happens to people
sometimes. It happens to people. You're allowed to do these things to yourself. Yeah. It's fine.
Take the community money.
I also like that Willem Dafoe returns as a hallucination, and he again returns in the next one. I do wonder, though, whether they plan to bring him back fully at some point.
Oh, physically?
Because in the comics, he's been dead so many times and he comes back.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, like the implication is that the goblin formula just keeps bringing you back. Like he can never die. But I mean, again, realistically, why would you bring back the Green Goblin lame when you have New Goblin new and cool?
Rad. So we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but Mary Jane leaves her fiancé at the altar.
Yeah.
And look, he's just some boring guy who...
He's been to space?
Who gives a shit? Everyone's been to space. It's not that big a deal, all right?
All right.
They're putting cars in space now. It's fine. No, I know that's great that he's been to space, but he's not Spider-Man and he's not interesting. He has nothing interesting to say. Mm-hmm. The only thing interesting about that guy is that his father is somehow J. Jonah Jameson.
That's true.
I don't know how that works at all.
Yeah. But again, there appears to be no repercussions for Peter Parker in the next movie that he stole J. Jonah Jameson's son's fiance yeah. at the altar. Like, how humiliating.
That is incredibly humiliating.
That being said, I do get the sense that J. Jonah Jameson is relieved that, like, because he's like, don't open the caviar.
Yeah.
I think he'd be like, I can recoup some of these losses.
A bit of cash here. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Also, that guy becomes the Wolfman in the comics.
I was going to say, he becomes a space Wolfman. So there's your interesting, you know.
Yeah, a thing that we never see.
Well, maybe that's why she likes him, because he's got all kinds of fun stories about, yeah, I was on the moon and I got bit by this space wolf, but nothing seems to have happened. Nothing, so it seemed to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned some deleted scenes before. One that I really, there's a lot of them. You should watch them all. A lot of them seem like they could just slot back in. There's one where I mentioned where they tumble into the window.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment where Doc Ock holds Spider-Man in front of the passing train and he just gets cleaned up.
By a train?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's Yeah. So that kind of makes sense at the end when he gets knocked out so easily. You know, because he's just completely exhausted because he's been hit by a train.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment where J. Jonah Jameson is in the Spider-Man.
It's weird that they filmed that and they made Tobey Maguire get hit by a train and yeah, then they didn't use
but
it.
But they don't like him.
Yeah.
They don't like him. Mm. And there's a bit where J. Jonah Jameson, have you seen this, where he's wearing the Spider-Man suit?
He puts on the Spider-Man suit, yeah.
You know what's crazy about watching that now? That dude would, what, maybe be 55, 60 uh-huh. when you're filming this? He's so nimble. And Sprite, like he's down in a, yeah. in a crouch and he's doing all, I mean, we know now he's very fit.
Oh, he lifts. Yeah. And he does cardio.
It's big time. Mm-hmm. But just looking at going, that guy definitely stretches.
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's trim and nimble, but I respect it.
He probably did the same training regime that Tobey Maguire did.
He probably
just
did.
Just in case they needed a ring in. They're like, look, we're not so keen on this Tobey Maguire character. Do you want to do dual roles, J.K. Simmons?
Absolutely, I do, yes. Mm.
Bring me pictures of Spider-Man! I will bring you pictures of Spider-Man!
I think this is a good movie.
I do agree.
I'm not sure if I think it's the best Spider-Man movie, but I enjoyed rewatching it. There's some corny moments, but what I like about these movies is there's a real feel to them. Like, there's a sense yeah. of universe and purpose and the way that Sam Raimi crafts this world.
Yeah.
I like being in it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think it doesn't... I think they're characters that if you took them out and you say, put them in like the modern day MCU, they would feel kind of yeah. stylized and caricature-y
yeah.
kind of thing. They wouldn't really slot perfectly in, I think, because they are sort of big iconic characters and kind of simplified. But I think when you're in the world, you're like, oh, I'm in the comic book world here.
And we love it.
And we love it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But we also hate it.
We kind of hate it a bit. This is the pinnacle of the first five. Yeah. For absolute.
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, we'll be back next week, of course, for Spider-Man 3.
Ah, the pinnacle of the first five.
I can't wait to get to it.
Me too.
Because it's dead in the middle of the first five.
Mm-hmm.
You know we're looking forward to it. But also we do videos here every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is we've got a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. The episode we just did is on all the different weird variations of Spider-Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Weird and wonderful. I haven't told you that we're doing that yet, but there you go. We've done it and it's out by the time this is out.
Wow, so I don't have to come back
no,
to record it?
You don't have to.
Nice.
I'll just use archival audio of you going, yeah, I agree with Spider-Man.
Nice. I don't agree with Spider-Man on any level, so you'll never find that footage.
You've just given me the perfect audio clip to insert.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thanks for tuning in.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3. Vindicated. I am selfish. I am wrong. You know this song.
I actually don't know this one. Who was that again?
Dashboard Confessionals.
Dashboard Confessional. All right.
I don't know the third one. All right. Come back to it.
We'll make up our own.
Definitely.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.